Hello children, welcome to the third module of your civics chapter 3, electoral politics. In this module we are going to discuss mainly the areas under the discussion: what makes elections in India democratic. The first point here that makes Indian elections democratic is the existence of an independent Election Commission in India. It is a constitutional institution created by the Constitution. Once an election commissioner is appointed, he cannot be removed. Just like the President of India, he can be removed from his office only by the process of impeachment, which is very difficult, and never such an incident has happened in India till today. In India, all elections are conducted under the direct supervision of the Election Commission. The Chief Election Commissioner is appointed by the President of India, and the other members of the Election Commission, they are also appointed by the President of India. And in the Election Commission of India, we have total 3 members. One is the Chief of the Election Commission, and the other 2 are the members of the Election Commission. The Election Commission takes all the important decisions on each and every aspect of the conduct and control of election, from the announcement of elections to the declaration of results. It implements the code of conduct, and it also punishes any candidate or any party which have violated the established code of conduct. During the election period, the Election Commission can order the government to follow certain guidelines to prevent the use or misuse of government power to enhance the chances of the ruling party to win the election, or to transfer some government officials. In other way, the entire executive branch of government comes under the control of the Election Commission once the elections are declared. Election Commission can give any order for transferring any officer, whether central government or state government, and that order will be honored, and that will be effected with immediate effect. Because the entire government machinery comes under the control of the Election Commission. When on election duty, a government officer, he is not working under the control of any state government or under the control of the central government. While doing the election duty, he is working under the control of the Election Commission. Therefore, he is duty bound to obey the orders issued by the Election Commission only. Now, the next area, after discussing how powerful is our Election Commission and how independent is our Election Commission for the smooth conduct, impartial way of functioning of our election, we are moving to the participation of the people in election. The quality of the election process is actually to a great extent decided by the participation of the people. That means, you organize the election in a most systematic, democratic and correct way, but if majority of the citizens do not come to vote, the entire process of election is defeated, the very purpose is defeated. If more people come to participate and the election process is organized in a very systematic manner, then it is a great success. So therefore, people's participation in the election is very important, and this participation is measured by what you call the turnout figures. What is the turnout? That is the question at the end of election. Every media person and every candidate and every party worker will be asking. The turnout indicates the percentage of the eligible voters who actually came to the polling booth and registered their vote. If 50% is the turnout, that means out of 100 eligible voters in the voters list, 50% have turned out to register their vote and the remaining 50% did not come. In our country, India, what you can notice, the illiterate people, the poor people, the underprivileged people, they come in large number to vote compared to the rich and the privileged section. Very often, it is a painful reality. It is very unfortunate to see that the people, those who are well-to-do, they sit in their apartments enjoying TV programs and they don't care for democracy, who rules the country, and they don't very often come out in large number to register their votes. While these poor people walk long distances, stand for long hours in the queue, and they register their vote and go. Common people in India feel that through elections, they can bring pressure on the political parties to adopt policies and programs favorable for them. With that expectation, they come in large number and register their votes. The interest of the voters in election-related activities has been increasing over years. If you note and observe the turnout figure from the day India got independence till today, you can see that there is an increasing turnout year after year or election after election. More and more people are now turning out to participate as voters in the election. That is a very positive trend. We can expect that this trend will continue in the coming time also, or may become further better. Next area that we have to discuss is the acceptance of election outcome. One final test of the free and fairness, how free and fair these Indian elections are, is the outcome of the election. The ruling parties routinely lose elections in India, both at the national and state level. This we have observed many times. The ruling party has got a better chance to lose the next election. That means the election process is happening in a proper manner and the actual desire of the people, the choice of the people, is getting revealed in the result. In the United States, an incumbent or a sitting member is elected representative. That elected representative rarely loses an election. That means in US, normally a sitting member is getting elected again and again. The chance of not getting elected is very less. While in India, it is not like that. Almost 50% of all the sitting MLAs and MPs, they don't get elected in the next election. That is the reality in India. That means Indian elections are conducted in a very systematic and democratic way. Candidates who are known to have spent a lot of money on buying votes or for bribing votes, and those with non-criminal connections very often lose elections. That is again another positive factor. But at the same time, we should not forget that sometimes we see that some candidates with a lot of criminal backgrounds, they are also getting elected especially to the state legislative assemblies, and we should not close our eyes to such realities. Barring very few disputed elections, the electoral outcomes are usually accepted by as people's verdict by the defeated party and the defeated candidates. Always we can see that after the election, in television interviews, the defeated party leaders and candidates, they humbly accept the verdict given by the people. That is the words they normally speak. Now the next area of our discussion is the challenges to free and fair elections. Elections in India are basically free and fair from the discussion that we understood that. Sometimes this may not be true also in every constituency. In some constituency it is not like that. There are many limitations and challenges to the Indian elections. What are they? First one, candidates and parties with lot of money enjoy a big and unfair advantage over smaller parties. Big parties, very rich candidates, they have a lot of resources and money, they use it for winning election. So the smaller parties and poor candidates never get a chance to win. Second point is, candidates with the criminal connections have been able to push others out of the electoral race and to secure a party ticket from major political parties. Some people misuse their money power, their criminal connections, and they outsmart everyone, and they get even the party tickets of major political parties, and they get elected. Here, it is the responsibility of the general public and the voters to reject such candidates with the criminal tendencies. Tickets are distributed to relatives from their families. If a particular person is at the top leadership, his family members are given a better chance or more chances to get elected by giving party tickets. And people, those who don't have anyone, any godfather in the party's higher leadership, they will never get a chance to become an elected member of parliament or legislative assembly. Favoritism. And the fourth important point is, election offers little choice to ordinary citizens, as major parties are quite similar to each other, both in policies and practices. There is very less difference among the major political parties. So people, voters are confused which party is better, they are not able to decide. And the last point is, smaller parties and independent candidates suffer huge disadvantage compared to bigger parties, because bigger parties have got more workers to work, they have well organized party structure, they have more financial resources for organizing the election campaign, so they have more chances to win compared to the smaller parties and independent candidates who do not belong to any particular political party. It is very often said about democracy. In a democracy, the people get the government that the people deserve. Very often we hear people criticizing the governments, and they forget that. When you are criticizing the government, you should think that it is you who has given the vote and elected this particular leader. You are blaming the criminal background of the leader. You are blaming this leader is corrupt. But the question is, who elected this leader? You only elected this leader. Or you did not go to elect. You did not go to cast your vote because of that this person got elected. So that is why this sentence is very meaningful. In a democracy, you get the government you deserve. So if you, the voters are very good, sensitive, responsible, patriotic, educated, and with awareness, then they will definitely elect better leaders, better representatives, and we will have better government always. Thank you for listening to me.